From GEICO Subconscious News, I'm Tammy Racing Thoughts, broadcasting from your brain. You think you live in a pretty safe place, but you just heard about a break-in 4 miles away, which isn't close, but it isn't far either, you know? Art Palpitations is on the scene.
I sure am, Tammy, and I don't even know why I drove out here, because as you know, you got customized renter's insurance through GEICO, so your stuff is covered.
Oh, well, that's great. Any sign of crime there, Art?
Just some light littering, Tammy, but like they say, a little litter can lead to a lot.
Wise words. It feels good to worry less. It feels good to GEICO.
Moncrief on News Talk.
More than 1,000 scholars and sundry literary types from the Poetry Society of America have voted, and the results are in. In their collective opinion, the most beautiful word in the English language is diaphanous. Second place went to ethereal. Coming up in third spot was mellifluous. So, the sorts of everyday words we'd all use. Brace yourself for the mellifluous voice of Dr. Gail Flanagan, ethereally drifting into your ears from the diaphanous towers of the University of Limerick. Good afternoon, Gail.
Good afternoon. That is some introduction, Sean. Thank you very much.
I tell you,
it took some time
to crowbar them in, I can tell you that. But these are all kind of, they're not words one would use in speech, really.
No, not at all. And I will be very honest that I had to, I knew them, you know, I've seen them written. They're very literary words, aren't they? Mm. They're highbrow or high-end descriptors or adjectives. Diaphanous, gossamer, light, delicate. You could have diaphanous wings if you're thinking about an insect. Ethereal is, again, light and delicate, may come from another world. I feel like we're kind of getting into Lord of the Rings territory here.
Yeah,
it is a bit.
Yeah, I can only thought of diaphanous, a diaphanous gown you'll occasionally hear.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. Now, they have wings as well in the dictionary they talk about. So if you think kind of that gossamer kind of wings. No, Florence and the Machine comes to mind, you know, because she was in Ireland recently and kind of, you know, an outfit, she was flowing gown that she would wear. And as for mellifluous, it sounds like if somebody said that to you, you'd be like, oh my God, is it serious? You know, it is. It's not an everyday word that we would use. Its definition is pleasant and flowing sound. So you and I, you know, have mellifluous, even hard to keep saying it.
It is hard
mellifluous
to say.
Voices. It is hard to say, which again doesn't lend itself to spoken conversation. They're very much literary words. But this was the National Poetry Society of America. So these were very much poets. Now, I believe from what I've read, they were given the words as well. They were given a list of words. Then they voted on this list of words. I also believe words such as diarrhea, which actually trips nicely off the tongue, but isn't a word we probably, you know, associate. We don't have good connotations with it. So I think there were words like that that were also in the list.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, kind of the more upbeat ones.
Now, as you say, yeah, as you point out, they were all poets for the most part. Explain what is phonesthetics.
Yeah, phonesthetics is subjective, pleasantness or unpleasantness of words. So phonetics would be my area as a linguist, in that is the sounds that we make and the phonemes, the little sounds. If any of our listeners, if they're thinking of their children, you know, doing jolly phonics, it's the same concept. We build up the phonemes, we build them up. So that's our phonetics, and we build up sounds into words. And then the aesthetics is the subjective bit, the more coming from the psychology side of the house, and what we think, how we feel. Like, you know, if somebody say, oh, that word gives me the ick. Now, there's actually a word that ick itself gives me, you know what I mean? It's not a word I particularly like, but yeah.
And so would that tend to be like relate to just the sound of the word itself rather than somewhat divorced from its meaning rather than it, or does it have an onomatopoeic kind of quality to it?
A bit of both. I mean, as a linguist, I think you can't divorce sound and meaning. But we are probably attracted to words. Poets, you know, writers are probably attracted to words that have that quality, onomatopoeia. You know, and I'm thinking of words such as topple and wobble and babble. And, you know, they've got very, they evoke an image in your mind. And that's what writers, whether you know, are trying to do with language, really. Another thing that was interesting, they also selected words from other language. So there's a certain, even if we don't necessarily understand, we'll know the meaning because it might have been borrowed and it might be now regularly used in English, like amour for French, for example. But they went for words from other language, again, for kind of the rhythmic, for the, you know, the sound of them, the aesthetic feeling or quality that they have.
Yeah, but I suppose words in French always sound better.
Well, they do. And that's why when we're doing, like, and we're saying, like, right, let's look at media and let's look at advertising. And if you think of French, what do you think? And people think perfumes and they think, you know, and romance and things like that. Whereas if you think Spanish or Italian, you think more kind of maybe more, a little bit more excitable, a little more arriba or something. And then, and German, a bit harsher then.
Mm.
Like an example I was thinking of today was crank. Krankenhaus. That
oh,
sounds
gosh.
Very harsh. That means hospital. You know, crank is to be sick. But again, compared to, you know, laissez-faire of the French, it does sound, it's got a completely different sound to it. And your automatic reaction, if you don't understand the word, is to have more of a negative sentiment towards it. And that's where when we talk about media and films and not stereotyping different languages, because that does happen.
Oh, all right. Because, I mean, funny enough, well, I suppose one gets the sense at least that the Germans have a word for everything, but the sound, the kind of slightly guttural sound of German makes it all sound harsher. Yeah.
It does, yeah. Well, I mean, like every language has lots of words, and that's what's brilliant about language.
And listeners just sent in pulchritudinous is the most beautiful English word because that's what it means, but it doesn't sound like that.
No, but what does it actually mean? Say it again.
Pulchritudinous. It means beautiful or attractive. But it's kind of an old-fashioned word, I think. Obviously it is.
Yeah. it's not one in my vocabulary, I can tell you.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, isn't it, when a word that has, it sounds differently to the actual sentiment it's going to convey. One that came to my mind, now it's actually from my American cousin, I've got it behoove. And that just to me sounds so, we don't use it in Irish and British English as much, I believe.
Yeah.
But it's definitely used more in America. It behooved me to do something. It was the right thing to do. To me, that's very biblical. And again, very negative. It's harsher to me. But again, it's just somebody saying it was the right thing to do. It behooved me to do it.
On this show, as entrepreneurs, we often talk about the courage it takes to start something from scratch. Every successful brand begins with a vision, a purpose, and someone willing to take a chance on an idea. And while every founder's journey is different, many share the same determination to overcome obstacles, innovate, and build something meaningful from the ground up. That's why I always enjoy hearing founder stories, because behind every product is a real person who has invested time, energy, and passion into building something meaningful. Walmart is helping customers discover products from thousands of small brands while giving founders opportunities to grow, reach new communities, and share the stories behind their businesses. By making it easier to discover these brands, Walmart helps connect customers with innovative products and the entrepreneurs whose passion, resilience, and creativity help bring them to market. So whether you're an entrepreneur yourself or a dream driver looking to be inspired, it's exciting to see more opportunities for small brands to be discovered. Visit walmart.com to learn more about the small brands and founder stories available in your community.
Yeah. Now, you were also doing, you did a kind of an unofficial survey and just asked people over the last day or so. What results did you get as to favorite words people had?
Exactly. Complete disclaimer. This was done with family and friends. I did take to a beer garden in order to widen my research, but I had to with the weather. Serpendipity was one. And I think that's serpentine. It trips off the tongue. It's like finding something interesting or valuable things by chance. It's very positive. It's got a positive little, you know, rhyming slang. Latchico. Now, there's a good one.
Yeah, that's an old one. Yeah.
That's an old one, is right. And it wasn't one I was familiar with. I believe it's Dublin slang. It is in one of the T.P. Dolan, who was in UCD. He had done like a dictionary of Irish English. So Latchico was in it. And I think it's come back into use more recently within the rugby fraternity or community. I shouldn't be saying fraternity. And to be a latchko, maybe somebody latching on. And again, the etymology of it isn't precise. It isn't in the Cambridge English Dictionary, for example. But it is one. It's generally used as an insult, but I just think latchko. I just think it doesn't even sound like it's an English word or an Irish English word. I think it's brilliant. And then we got into chatting about again, kind of literature, because we were talking, because it was stemming from the poetry. And what I thought was brilliant, somebody came up with the BFG. And again, your listeners will start thinking, if you can start thinking the books that your children are reading, like we were talking, I was talking with Simon earlier about the Gruffalo. But the BFG has a vocabulary of 500 words, and the language is known as gobblefunk. And things like fizz whizzing, which is just exciting, happy. But going back to what you were saying at the start of the program about the dog, the happy dog,
yes.
In gobblefunk in the BFG, a whiz popper is a happy little fart. So I'm sure that dog had a whiz popper.
He certainly did, from the report, certainly. Gosh, yeah.
So if you think of literature, if you think of children's literature, that's where you get the really fun words and the sounds. Obviously, they all have meanings behind them, but the sounds that you just want. And kids are hearing, you know what I mean? You're reading to kids when they're young, so they're hearing it. Scrumdiddlyumptious is another one. You know, I didn't know that was from the BFG, but just, you know, fabulous words. And we're always coming up with new words and new ways of saying things, which is brilliant.
And slang words tend to be a bit more onomatopoeic. It always strikes me that you're trying to capture what something is like as well as just describe it.
Yeah, especially if it's like gowl is one I was thinking of earlier. Ooh. Yeah, gowl. Like really, that's the end, more the Cork Limerick kind of. But that's
meaning what, Gail?
Meaning you divil.
Oh, is that what it means in Limerick? Jeez, I tell you, it means something completely different in Galway. Here, when I was growing up. Yeah.
Now it has been taken from what you use. I'd be put off the air. It's taken from one thing to convey another thing. Yeah. So I thought I'd do well in this one, but anyway, there I am.
Now, but words that people dislike, Gail. Because and moist seems to come up quite a lot.
I remember listening to a radio segment, and I don't know who it was or which radio station, but moist and got a lot of interest, and people were like, "Yeah, it's just one of those words that people go again gives them that, you know, they don't like it."
Yeah.
Nubile is mine. I don't like it, and again, it might be the meaning, a nubile young woman, and I just but again, it's the connotation with it that I'm associating with the word too.
Yeah, and it has kind of Lolita kind of energy to it, which is, you know, which is still held up as kind of a classic of literature. But what's it about?
No, that definitely is cancelled now.
Yes.
One thing we've talked about French and German and even a bit of Spanish, but do you know where Irish, and again our listeners are Gaelgori, like I have started Irish conversation classes, having learned it at school and have never been able to speak it properly, and one word I've come across very recently is sketamini, cos sketamini orum, excuse the pronunciation for anyone who's fluent out there, but that means that sketamini, I'm excited, I'm giddy. I think that's an amazing word.
Yeah.
And there's many more in Irish as well. Because we get so much of our Irish English from the wealth and the beauty of our Irish language.
Yeah. You did ask your son as well what was his least favourite word. This is very revealing, I thought.
Oh, listen, think of a teenage lad looking at you and I'm like, now what words sound nice and what words don't sound nice to you? And he went, dishwasher. Purely the connotation of the dishwasher, and obviously go your turn to do it. So, yeah, call a spade, that would be my son.
Indeed. Gail, lovely to chat to you again. Thanks very much for doing so. That was Dr. Gail Flanagan there, Communication and Linguistics Lecturer in UL. Jay says, I think scroat is a great word. It is. I'm not too sure where it derives from, actually. And somebody else says, I remember when I was doing my master's in linguistics from the School of African and Oriental Studies in London, one of the professors said that the most beautiful language in the world was Portuguese, spoken in the slums of Brazil. So it's no surprise that those words you mentioned are chosen as the most beautiful words in English because they have that soft, fluffy sound with lots of S's in them. That's interesting. That's so interesting. I must say I've never heard Portuguese spoken in the slums of Brazil. It's almost worth checking out.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.